we're going to begin. I think we started last week discussing the issue of kuti. I want to pick up with that. Just run through these gemaras very quickly, the kuti gemaras, and then talk about, again, it could be a very massive topic. I do want to move a little more quickly, so we'll try to make it a little shorter. But the questions that are raised in this topic are really very pivotal. Issues about Geirus and Kedushas Yisrael, as we started indicating last week. So let me just go through the Gemaras again, the beginning Gemaras and then the end Gemaras, which we didn't get to, and then talk about some of the basic approaches. So the Gemara here, again, the context is all this effort to interpret the Mishnah, which says, Hakol Shochtinu Kshitasan Kshera, and the Gemara is going back and forth to try to figure out what that might mean. One of the suggestions was that this is a reference to a kuti. Kuti were the Shomronim, I guess we sometimes call them. And, you know, in the Psukim, in Melachim Beis, so they have the whole story about how they were, you know, resettled in Eretz Yisrael. And at a certain point, they were absorbed by Klal Yisrael, and the question was, what was the status of their geirus? Right? Were they authentic Jews? Was their conversion serious and sincere? Or since it was definitely also motivated by external and ulterior motives, so that kind of tarnished their geirus, you know, and they weren't geirim at all. The pashtus is that the simple reading is that there are two mutually exclusive views about the original or the initial status of the kutim. They were geirim, geirei emes. They weren't geirim, geirei arayos with an aleph, meaning lions that were sent to to scare them and to consume them or devour them, etc. So anyways, the Gemara makes allusion to this because the Gemara here on Gimel and Aleph suggests that might be what the Mishnah is talking about. And when it says Hakol Shochtin, that means even a Shochet was a Kuti. And the point is that if you... there are certain conditions that would apply. And there are other conditions in which would only be a B'diyev. And that's the question. The Gadol Omid El Gabov, what about what we call, we'll get to it in a second, you know, Chotech Kezias Basar V'Ochlo, we'll see in a second, the Kutiyim, in addition to the, there are basically three, you know, there are more maybe, but three basic phases in the Kuti story. Okay, the first one is the question of their Geirus at the time. That already is very controversial. And we'll talk a little more about that in a minute. Then, the second phase is the status of the Kutiyim when they were accepted as Jews in the Jewish community. And the question was, you know, can you trust them? And, you know, to what extent are they conducting themselves as committed Jews, you know, or not? It's a little like the Erev Rav story, you know, in Mitzrayim. But... So that's the second phase, which we'll get to in a second. Our discussion in the Mishnah and the Gemara on Dalet Amud Aleph is mostly about the second phase. Namely, they're treated as geirim, but we know, for example, as we'll see in a minute, that they're not committed to Torah Shebaal Peh, and one of the things that they're not committed to as well is the Fnei Berlositei Mechshol. So we can't rely on the Kutiyim to protect the spiritual well-being of the rest of Klal Yisrael. And since that's a critical aspect of Nemanus when it comes to Kashrus, you have to be able to rely on the fact that the, you know, person that you're asking cares, you know, that he's shares your concern, you know, for the answer. If he considers the matter to be irrelevant, you know, then that's a reason perhaps not to trust him. So that's the second phase, and as we'll see in a moment, then came the third phase, and that is at a certain point, the misconduct of the Kutiyim, you know, became more obvious, We'll see exactly what we mean by that. And it sounds like they were written out of Klal Yisrael at that point. And also, that's just a very remarkable phenomenon. It's remarkable they were let in, frankly, given all of the difficulties. And once they were let in, it's even more remarkable, in my opinion. The question is, what does it mean that they were, pretty much expelled, from Klal Yisrael? Okay, so what I want to do is I want to analyze these three phases. The first phase is, and they may be related, that's one of the things I want to talk about, especially the first and the third. But the first phase is the question of the sincerity of their geirus initially. This is a massive topic, which we're just going to, talk about very quickly. But this comes up on Gimel Amud Beis. When Gimel Amud Beis, when the Gemara is trying to figure out why do you have six different or five different explanations of the Mishnah, so the Gemara wants to know why each one of the Amoraim, made a different suggestion how to read the Mishnah. Why can't they agree on a solution? What's the weak, what's the vulnerable point of each of the perspectives? So when it comes to the Kuti story, the Gemara says, this is towards the bottom of the Gimel Beis, we read it last time, I just want to review it very quickly. The Gemara says, Ravashi, this is three lines into the wide lines. Ravashi lo amar kitravayu. Ravashi said, did not agree with the position of either Abaya or Rava. Abaya and Rava debate whether or not a Kuti will be trusted for Shkita only if Acherim roim also. Right? That is the view of Abaya. Or even if Acherim are Yotzim v'nichnasim. That's something we discussed last week. What level of Hashgacha do you require for the Kutim? Hashgacha Tmidis, let's say? Or it's enough to have a Yotzim v'nichnas based on the principle of Mirtas. That's Abaya and Rava. And the Gemara says that Ravashi, who gave a different answer to this question, different reading of the Mishnah, which we'll get to hopefully next week, that is Mumar Ochel Nevelos L'Teyava. We're talking about not a Kuti, but a Jew. But a Jew who doesn't conduct himself, in an admirable way, for he's not a Shomer Mitzvos properly, right? His Yetzirah is very, very weak. His self-discipline is weak. And therefore he, it doesn't take much for him to cave. It doesn't take much for him to acquiesce to his passions. So that's the view of Ravashi. Why did Ravashi like Abai and Rava? What's the problem with saying that the Mishnah refers to the Kutim? So the Gemara says, Ravashi lomer ketravayu kas kasavar kutim geire arayos hein. This is four lines into the wide lines, or five lines from the bottom of the page. Kutim ageri arayos, gerim of lions, meaning they were scared into their commitment, and therefore we don't believe them to be good and pashtas. We don't consider them to be proper Jews. That's the line. And on that line, Tosas jumps in and raises the problem. Tosas says, Kasavar kutim ageri arayos hein, ushkitasan psula. And if that's really true, namely that they weren't authentic in their geirus, then they're non-Jews. And if they're non-Jews, then their shkita is automatically disqualified. Kamo shalom de kachavim. Just like the shkita of a non-Jew. It's also a big issue, which we'll get to, but certainly everybody agrees that the shkita of a non-Jew is disqualified. There's some controversy about what the Rambam thinks, about why the Rambam thinks that is so, and when the Rambam thinks that is so. Bali Tosas have a more definitive view, as you can see right here. They say Kamosha v'kochavim, that it's based on mi v'zavachta, masha tzoveach ata ochel. Klomar, oso shu bar zvicha, somebody who is commanded to do the zvicha when it comes to korbanos, right, he can shecht la fuke over the kochavim v'ochel levelos lahakis. For good measure, Tosas throws in that an ochel nevelos lahachis, which we'll speak about not again, not this week, but in the coming weeks, meaning he doesn't do it out of desire. He's not hungry. It's not that he can't resist a good nevela, right? He does it lahachis. He does it out of rebelliousness. Right? He does it specifically to thumb his nose at Yahadus, at the world of Halacha. So such an individual, like an Akum, says Tosas, we'll discuss whether everybody agrees about that, is considered to be Mufka. I mean, if there's a Gadol Omid Al-Gabav, even if we know that he did it properly, if he's a non-Jew, or if he's a Mumar Lahachis, then you can't eat from his Shkita, even if you did a perfect Shkita. The Afagab, the Omar B'Sof Perik based Yivam. Then Tosis gets into the issue that I'm interested in, which is, but the Gemara at the end of Yivamos, on Chavdawad Amdeis, seems to embrace B'di'eved, the status of a Ger Arayos, somebody who, out of fear, joins Klal Yisrael. Because the Gemara there says, Echa Ger Arayos, whether it's, lion-motivated Gerin, Echa Ger Chalomos, people had a dream, whatever, a bunch of other cases as well, including, by the way, Gerus for the sake of marriage is discussed in that Gemara in Yivamos. It sounds like the Gemara thinks that while we're not happy about all these situations, that Kulam, Gerim, Gemurim, in the end of the day, motivation notwithstanding, right, that the Gerus is Chal. So if that's the case, why does the Gemara here say, and in many other places in Shas, that according to the Mandamar, that Kutim are Gerei Arayos, right, that they are Mufka from Shechita, that they have no Kedushas Yisrael. Now again, it should be noted that when the Gemara there says what it says in Yivamos about Gerei Arayos, it is not specifically speaking about Kutim. It's speaking in general. Right, people who are Misgayer, and they have ulterior motives. And one of the examples they give is Arayos. But they're not historically speaking about the Kutim. But the question would be, since when the Gemara does speak about the Kutim, they formulate it, as a debate about Gerei Emes, authentic Gerim, Gerei Arayos, right, lion-motivated Gerim, who are obviously inauthentic. So how do you square, even though there's no absolute stira, it's interesting to note that Rashi, in Yivamos, on that Gemara, when it says Gerei Arayos, says gives the example of the Kutim. Okay, but the Gemara itself is not necessarily, which leaves an opening, particularly for what Tosa says here, which is Hainu Kishim is Gayer Legamri Mipachad Arayos. Avol Kutim Lo Nizgayer Legamri Kedesiv Malachim Es Hashem Hayu Yirayim Es Eloheihem Hayu Ovdim. So Tosas here makes a very important distinction. Between the content and the motivation of Gerus. Basically, Tosas says, the Gemara Yivamos is talking about why the person agreed to undergo Gerus. But it doesn't have to necessarily impinge upon the seriousness of his commitment. Or perhaps, this is another question, the sincerity of his commitment. That's an interesting in-between case. What if you have somebody, you talk about three scenarios, probably talk about more. Right? Somebody whose motivation is not, l'shem Gerus. Right, but he's sincere and serious. And what about somebody who's serious, but not necessarily sincere? As I'm using sincerity right now, not to connote, purely motivated, obviously. I'm saying there are three different things. Why do you want to be a Jew? Right? That's one issue. The other extreme is, are you going to follow the rules and regulations? Are you sincere? I'm sorry. Are you serious and committed, right, to the to Jewish life? And then the in-between point I'm raising is about sincerity. Now sometimes I could be, I could want to join the Jewish people, for ulterior motives, but I could still believe that they're a chosen people and that their life, is excessively meaningful and sanctified. Just that, the trade-off between having all those, Ratzon Kodesh Baruch Hu, the way we look at it is, Lezakos is Yisrael lefika chirvel and Torah mitzvos. But as the Gemara says in Ksubis, and af yud aleph omen aleph, you know, somebody who comes from a very different background, it might be very difficult for them to acclimate and to fully embrace the Kabbalah sol mitzvos and the Kabbalah sol ma'afas shemayim. That doesn't necessarily mean that you don't believe that it is, a better way of life, a truer way of life. So there really are, I'm just pointing out, I'm not going to prosecute this case now, but this is a very critical question. It has been since the very first, Ger, I guess that's this week's Parsha probably, right? Yes. Parsha's Yisro. Yeah? That is this week's Parsha, right?
Yes.
No?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure. So I guess since the first Ger joined the Kalyu, Mashmua Shama Raduba, we say about Yisro. That part of it is curiosity. Like, why did he, why did he want to throw his lot in with Klal? Why did he come? Or, I guess, in a bigger way, why did he want to throw his lot in? But part of it is certainly also a question about his, his motive, his seriousness and his sincerity, right? Meaning, he saw that they were, this was the new winning team, right? Or, maybe he was a God-fearing man and he realized that the Ribbon Shalom has a special relationship with his people. Right? So, in a way, Mashmua Shamo Buzz, partly this question, too. So these are issues, always. What I think is, and I think I mentioned it last week already, but I'll repeat it again. It's interesting to wonder, in addition to wondering about these factors, it's also interesting to wonder whether or not there's a difference between Yechidim and a Tzibur. I mean, absorbing a nation, and dealing with individual Geirim. And again, maybe, some other time when we have more time, we'll talk much more detail about this. But Lekula and Lechumra, right, the easiest thing to say is that Geirus is Geirus. The truth is that the paradigm of Geirus is also Maimed Har Sinai, also this week's Parsha. And, and most cases of Geirus are individual Geirus that are derived from the Geirus of Klal Yisrael. You could look at that and say, what this demonstrates is that, sometimes you have group Geirus and sometimes you have individual Geirus, but it's all the same. However, there's a lot of evidence, certainly that first Geirus, the Geirus of Klal Yisrael, is singular. I've talked about this in the past. All of Klal Yisrael crossed the Rubicon, together, and it's not like they were, a different nation before. They became a nation together, but they weren't from a different nation. There wasn't a transformation, like there is in every other case, and there wasn't an assessment of their previous status, comparison to the standard of Klal Yisrael, because the standard of Klal Yisrael was being generated by Maimon Har Sinai and its Geirus, right? Which explains a lot. We've talked about some of these in the past, but the question of, why you don't say Ger Shenz Gar Kakatan Shenoladami for each member of Klal Yisrael, at Maimon Har Sinai. We don't say that. All the Mefarshim wonder about it, right? There's tons of Achronim who ask this question and give different answers. I think that's probably the answer. The question is, though, so that's a group dynamic, but it's obviously not just a group dynamic. It's the group dynamic. It's really the initiation of Klal Yisrael through some sort of an act of Geirus. In terms of the question that I'm raising, which is that was certainly a singular, and yet it is also paradigmatic of Geirus, even for an individual, that means that there's overlap, for sure. But what about another absorption of a group, right? What about that? That's an interesting problem. So I suspect that the whole question of Geri Arayos, Geri Emes, some of the particulars of this discussion in both Lekula and Lechumra have to do with the group dynamic of Geirus here.
What
yeah.
Was the status of the
Ingram Rav? That's an interesting question, 100%. I think I mentioned that before. In a way, no one really knows, but there's tons of speculation about it. Or just look in the Mefarshim in the Parshas that we're reading, right? I mean, every time the Torah says Am, and then the same Pasuk it says Yisrael, you know, so a lot of the Mefarshim, you know, sometimes Ramban, and sometimes Or HaChaim, and sometimes Kli Yakar, and some, you know, others, they say, oh, this is the Erev Rav, and that's Klal Yisrael, and, you know, what real status they had, the Erev Rav, you know, is, I guess, they were the Kutim before the Kutim were the Kutim. But we're really, you know, what their status was and how it all ended is so unclear. You know, but I mentioned it before because I do think, because again, they were also insincerely motivated, partly, and the substance of their commitment seemed to have been somewhat problematic. You know, and were they discernibly different? I mean, part of the thing about the Kutiyim, which I think is also singular, is that they were absorbed into Klal Yisrael and they remained, you know, mostly, or the ones that did anyway, they remained an entity. Right? It's not like, for generations and generations, as we'll see, you know, and their behavior was, you know, discernibly different. Usually in a bad way, a little bit in a good way, some of their Dukei Mitzvahs, we'll see in a minute. But, you know, that I think is a very important issue. I mean, they never fully integrated. And therefore they were an identifiable population. And I think that may have had something to do with the Kula and the Chumra, you know, with their status. But Erev Rav is, I think, the first paradigm of that. Okay, anyway, so what Tosa says here is that's the distinction. Tosa says, well, the motivation was Arayos, both in Yevamos and Chavdas and Dalin of Beis, and from the Kutiyim. But the difference is that the Chavdal and Omid Beis Geri Arayos, you know, we're just talking about the why, we weren't talking about the what. Right? Certainly not in commitment, and maybe not even sincerity. Then I'm making that distinction. But the Geri Arayos of the Kutiyim, says Tosas, right, they were not fully committed. And they were involved in this, Mechilta says it was Shittuf, I mean, a pretty big deal, right? As Elohim, Hayu Ovdim, even as Hashem, Hayu Yireyim. It's not like they were violating a couple of Drabbanans. I'm not saying that's good either, but, you know, we're talking about a Zara, basically. Like, it's hard to understand this whole thing. Yeah. And then the Gemara, then Tosis in the end says, Uman da Amar Geri Emes, because once you've said that, it puts all the pressure on the other foot, right, on the other area. In other words, if they were, you know, not even, didn't get their act together even when it came to Avodah Zarah, so what's the Manda Amar Geri Emes? So Tosis here says, no, that's because afterwards, you know, they had a more, everybody agrees that initially what they did was insufficient, and the question is whether afterwards, you know, they were able to, you know, accomplish full gairus. That becomes an interesting question. I mean, it's a machlokas and mitzios. There's a tshuva, the famous tshuva, the Maram Rupshik, on this question where he says, like, what, there was a machlokas and mitzios between the different views, whether or not they had a second gairus? Or is it a legal argument whether or not, on the heels of a group, he doesn't say the group part, the group is my part, my point, on the heels of a checkered, problematic, you know, first stage or previous gerus, you know, how do we look at, you know, a second gerus? Or, the way the Maram Shik actually has it, and some of the other Achronim say this as well, but I don't think this works well for our Tosas, necessarily. Tosin Sukkah, and Afcheson Beis, instead of the words, like we have Umanda Margeri Emes, Kasavar, Deshuv, Nizgairu Legamri. That's our Tosas. And like Tosin Sukkah, and some of the Tosa Rushes, it says something like, Shuv Nitkenu. You know, doesn't say Nizgairu Legamri. So the view of some of the acronym is that that might mean, they say for this Tosis too, I just think it's harder to say it for this Tosis, is that sometimes, this is an issue of Geirus, sometimes even if you don't know that you're being Mizgayer, or you don't intend to be Mizgayer, you do a Tefillah, Shalolish, it's not L'shem Geirus. Let's say you think that you're a member of Klal Yisrael, right, you had a checkered or problematic Geirus, or maybe even a, we've determined an inadequate gerus, But your image or self-image or self-perception, say you're a member of Klal Yisrael, and you identify, and then you you do an act of tefillah, but Torah, your self-image is a member of Klal Yisrael. So a woman does a tefillah l'nida, a man does a tefillah l'keri, or whatever, you know, or maybe Erev Yom Kippur, or whatever people do tefillah. So that might be an effective completion of a geirus. Okay, if you need a bezin, it would have to be, in the presence of a bezin, whatever. So some of the achronim say this. They say that's what we mean. And that's the issue. The issue is, it's a legal question, not a practical question. Did they then do a second, a sincere geirus? It's hard to say that's a machlokas in the Gemara, right? It's easier to say, right, that what happened afterwards, legally, because of the framework of what took place before it, how do we legally assess that? That's an important and interesting question. All right. Either way, that's it. On the other hand, the Bali Rashi, rather, in Yavamos, and the Ramban in Kiddushin, the one time the Rashi in Yavamos that I mentioned, when the Gemara says Geiroi Rias, and then Rashi says, for example, the Kutiyim, that's a little more difficult to understand, right? Because our Tosis here is saying that it's misleading. You have the same phrase Geiroi Rias, but it means two totally different things. Not totally. It means two different things. In one place, it refers to motivation, and in the other place, it refers to content, commitment, etc. But when Rashi in Yavamos says that when the Gemara says, the Geirei Arayos are okay, and Rashi says Geirei Arayos, like the Kutiyim, again, it's still possible to say that he meant, the same kind of Arayos action, the same kind of physical threat, although it was totally different in terms of what it affected, but it sounds like Rashi's saying that it's the same din. But then the problem is the Gemara there says that they're Geirin. And in the Oliver Shas, when we speak about Geirin Arayas, we say that they're not Geirin. So can they be Geirin and not Geirin at the same time? Right? So, does Rashi mean that, they weren't Geirin at the time, but there was enough, Geirus that later, when they became more serious, again, they could build on that? Or does Rashi mean something else? There might be indications that Rashi has a more nuanced view of what Geirei Arayos means. That it doesn't mean they totally weren't Geirim, even to the point of what I was suggesting for the Achronim here. Yeah?
Are you suggesting that whether to treat the Tzibor differently than the Yachir, does that have Kufa Machokin, Geirais, and Geirei MS, potentially? That's the Kufa Machokin?
I think that might be, that in other words, how you treat a group and how you treat individuals in terms of the standards of Kabbalah on mitzvos, or whether you take a longer view to make sure, lekula or lechomra.
Which way does it go?
I think there are indications that it goes in both ways. We'll see. In this way, I think it's lekula, just that you didn't throw them out right away. B, that you may have allowed them to build on this. I think it ends up being l'chomra in the end of the Gemara, according to a certain view. No, it's in the end of the Gemara where they expel them, Klal Yisrael, and this is generations later. How do you do that? Like, on the basis of what? Unless you think this is his license to do that, to groups or to individuals per se, and that has nothing to do with the whole story. I suspect, and I think in some makoros it sounds this way, but I also, it's a speculation on my part, but it's very deeply conviction-laden speculation, that some of the things that happen later in the Gemara are connected to this. But, yeah. Okay, so this is just food for thought. There's much more to talk about. Let me just highlight it a little bit more in terms of Geirei Arayos, because I don't want to spend, I'd say, so much time on this. So there are the problem. If you look all over Shas, there is a lot of mixed evidence about the status of the Kutiyim, and it's connected to, again, the phrases kuti geriem as kuti arayos, but in some cases it's also just connected to the actual mixed legal standing, you know, that they seem to have. So it's interesting. The Tosa Rosh in Kiddushin, an Ayin Heyomid Beis, sort of the main sugyas of Kuti Geriemus and Geriarios, quotes Rabbeinu Tam as trying to solve one of these, you know, puzzles, you know, where it seems like the Kutim are being treated as Jews and non-Jews, you know, at the same time, that they have halachic standing and they don't have halachic standing. There the Gemara talks about in terms of the Isra of Los Eskatein Bam, so the Gemara in Kiddushin, as Rabbeinu Tam understood it, that even if you hold Kutim Geire Arayos, where Rabbeinu Tam, quoted by Tosa Rosh, says it, the Kutim do not have an Isra of Los Eskatein Bam. That's shocking. That's not standard view. None of these are the standard view. But that's a view. So the Rabbeinu Tam explains, very fascinating explanation, because when the Gemara says, Osis Chatem Bam, it says, V'lo Yasuru, the problem is that we're worried, and one of the problems of Osis Chatem Bam is the influence. Osis Chatem Bam in general is a kind of the interface between Arayos and Avodah Zarah. Right, you're worried you're going to have non-Jewish children, or you're worried that your children will be growing up in a non-Jewish or in a confused environment, etc. Below Yasuru, you know, and they won't, you know, turn away from Judaism. So Rabbeinu Tam, quoted in that Tosa Rosh, says something very remarkable. I probably should have put it on the sheet. And that is, he says, well, that the Mechayev of Los Eskate, not everybody agrees with this, is the bad influence that you're exposing, right, your progeny, your future progeny, or yourself, too, in the context of such a marriage. Says Rabbeinu Tam, says, but the Kutim were living in the Jewish community, they thought of themselves as Jews. They were doing mitzvahs. Okay, they weren't perfect, and maybe even according to the Man Amar, that they were Geri Arayos, that their initial level of commitment or motivation, depending on your point of view, right, was deficient, and therefore they didn't achieve proper Kiddushas Yisrael. But in the end of the day, they were still living, everybody agrees that they were living like as part of the Jewish community, and that they were doing mitzvahs, says Rabbeinu Tam, so there's no environmental problem with them. Okay. Now that is not a compromise in actual Geirus or Kedushas Yisrael. It is a very big chiddush about Los Eschatein Bam, right? Saying that Los Eschatein is an Iser that particularly has to do with the pragmatic impact or influence, and with the added assumption that the Kutim aren't a bad enough influence because they're doing mitzvos and they're perceiving themselves, and maybe others are perceiving them as part of the Jewish community, even though they're really not. Okay. A more interesting, well, that's not say I want to rate interest. A more intriguing, compromise is the famous view of the Meiri. Could be that others hold this way. Some people think that Rashi holds this way, including the Rashi I mentioned in Yavamos, but a bunch of Rashis, which I'm not going to go through now, in Eruvin and in Yavamos and in Sanhedrin. There are a whole bunch of Rashis. Where Rashi seems to say that the problem of the Kutim is a problem of parallel opposite of Rabbeinu Tam, is a problem of Los Eschatein Bam, but with regard to other dinim, that the Kutim might have a status of Yisrael. You're not allowed to marry them, right? But they have dinim ki Yisrael. For example, Ones, Mefata, those Knossos, the sugi in the beginning of Perek Elonairus in Ksuvas seems to say that that those dinim apply to the Nesinim, to the Givonim, and also to the Kutim. That's what it sounds like in the Mishnah, and it sounds like that Rashi interprets that way in the beginning of Ksuvas. So the Meiri in the beginning of Elunaros, also quotes, also understands it this way. If you look here on page one, yeah, I'm not sure why. Oh, I see. I split it up. I see. Behind the Sinim, first he talks about the Givonim. But we talked about the Kutim here, but another group, of course, is the Givonim, right? The Nesinim, Yeshua. Behind the Sinim, Afim Bechlal. This is what the Meiri writes about the Nesinim. Afim Bechlal Chai VeLavin. Right? Vehem Bnei Givonim. Shenizgayru Derech Shikrus. Vehishirum. They let them remain. Right, velolach zikam, begerim gemurim l'inyan chasnus, ela shem chayavim b'taryag mitzvos. Wow. The Meiri says they're chayavim b'taryag mitzvos, but you're not allowed to marry them. Who shomer b'talmud amarav? Nesinim lo chashu lahem, ela mishum psul mishpacha. Din temar mishum abdus, me'ata bala nesino lehe ela knas. And it sounds like there is a knas. Va'odam rusham, nesinim Yoshua richkam. Right? Umashom or b'talmud shalom yivamos, she David gazar aleim shem nishtakach, because of David v'richkam, avu mekomokom nisharu b'isra chasnus, me'ika gerusam, she bimei Yoshua. U'mitokach isra chasnus shalahem mina Torah, v'hu shamor ala b'gemara mamzeres nesina, ika b'nayu. Again, this is not a majority view, this is a minority view, but it is a view, and some people think that Rashi may hold this way as well. Lamanda Marui Lakaima, Panavian Rui, etc. Avina Mikra, Velosili Isha, Isha Rui Kaima. Then, in the continuation, because the Mishnah in Elunaira speaks about Knas also for Nesina, which is Givonim, and also for Kutis. So he says, Vahakutis, Afishinuya Ladasa Omer Gere Arayo, saying, he's saying the Mishnah in Elunaros, which counts a kutis as somebody whose ones and pitu, right, triggers a knas, right, is according to the Mandamar, Geri Arayos. Wow. V'nisharu b'isr chasnus. What do you mean? What sense are they Geri Arayos if they have Kedushas Yisrael and they're Chayiv b'knas? You're not Chayiv b'knasos for ones and pitu of a non-Jew. Right? So what the Meiri Lishitaso is saying is that Geri Arayos means they don't have full Kedushas Yisrael, meaning there's an Issa to marry them. El Shemekivin Shechayavim B'mitzvos Harein Kishar Chai V'Lavin. Right? But if you violate them, that's a lav, because they're Chai B'mitzvos. That's different than the Tosa Rosh B'Shem Rabbeinu Tam, who's saying they do mitzvos and therefore, it's not bad thing to send your children, for a play date with them. There's no los eschatein. We're saying the opposite. There's los eschatein because legabe ishus and legabe los eschatein, right, that their gerus is incomplete. But legabe mitzvos, they have kedushas Yisrael. Right? Ella, shekvar asom, acharkein, that's a Gemara which we're going to get to, Beis and Bal Aleph, Kigoyim Gemurim, they expelled them, whatever that means. V'yesholim, v'imudas gerei arayos nemra, hechiyavinu luknas, nozavacha b'giyusa. If they're really not Jews, well, where's the knas? V'im yishum shalei heichotei niskar, erot perik rishon, yudalef amed aleph, shein nosin knas mitamze, el isho medes becheskas yisraelis. V'eino she'ela, lav gius mikri. You can give them the knas because they have partial kedushas Yisrael. They're chayiv min haTorah the mitzvos. Be'afal gavde mitukum asmisa limud Rabbi Meir be'iud amar geiri emesein kedisa b'avakam alam chesem beis. Right, that would ruin everything. But then you'd have trouble to explain the isra chasnus. Maybe what. Meaning that this is the mandamar putigere arayos, but there's a chiv knas. Some people think that's what Rashi means in Elunaros. And then they connect it all up with these other Rashis. Like Rashi in a few places says something like, kutim gere arayos, ve'enam gerim gemurim. Enam gerim gemurim. Enam gerim. Right? And then again, Rashi and Sanhedrin, and the Ramban Sanhedrin, you know, I think Nunhei, both seem to say something like, you know, again, the problem is Los Eschatein, but there is Tfisas Kiddushin. How can there be Tfisas Kiddushin? I'm not sure for the Miri if there's Tfisas Kiddushin, by the way, at all. When he says that there's an Yisr Chassid, see, maybe there's no Tfisas Kiddushin either. This is a whole perspective, and there's, you know, more Rayas. The Tosis Shanim and Yoma seems to say that a Kuti can be Mafris Truma because he's a Ben Bris, or he can make himself a Ben Bris. Even according to the Manamar, Kuti Geri Arayos. Meaning, there is a whole... again, this is not the standard and mainstream view. The standard mainstream view, with all the problems, is that Kuti Geri Arayos means he's a Goy Gamor, and Kuti Geri Arayos means he's a Yisrael Gamor. What I'm trying to show is, there are a lot of problems, both, you know, to try to figure out what the Machlokas is, you know, as well as to actually navigate some of the Gemaras and Sugyas, like who's this according to? And you have these deos, you know, that accumulate a little bit, you know, that mostly within the view of Kuti Geri Arayos. Kuti Geri Arayos, that means they don't have full Kedushas Yisrael. Maybe mostly with regard to Ishas. But Chiyuv Mitzvos there is. Or, in some cases, according to the Mandamar Kuti Geri Emes, yeah, but not with respect to this particular halacha. So then this idea that there's kind of Mikzas Kedushas Yisrael, now do you ever have Mikzas Kedushas Yisrael outside of Kuti and outside of Givoni? That's an interesting question too. The answer is we do have some echoes of it. Well, Eved Kenani is a great example. Again, it comes from a little bit of a different place, but you have certainly, you know, when we learned Shuas a couple of years ago, we talked about it more fully, right? There's a big debate how to understand it. Certainly, in Law Lami Isha, right? He has a chiyuv mitzvos, but not mitzvah seishas van grama. But again, is lacking some measure of Kedushas Yisrael, unlike an Isha, right? That's the chiluk. And then, the transition, you know, to become a full member of Klal Yisrael through Shichrur, and maybe if it's Doraisa, second Tvila, right, what does that imply? Right, so he was a Yisrael Gamor, but he was just a Shem Eved, and all his, you know, apparent, you know, deficiencies in terms of Kedushas Yisrael are all chalked up to Avdus. Even if it is chalked up to Avdus, that's because Avdus itself is something which negates Kedushas Yisrael. I don't mean Eved Ivri, I mean Eved Kenani. Or is it that he has only Mikzas Kedushas Yisrael, in which case, you know, what does he have and what doesn't he have? And that's a kind of a... But there at least you're coming, you know, there's a certain process and identity. And even then, it's quite tricky.
How could they be Geri Emes if they're not Mekabel Torah Shebalka?
Say again?
How could they be Geri Emes if they're not Mekabel Torah Shebalka?
That's a great question. So, because it could be that they were Mekabel and they just weren't, you know, that afterwards they just weren't Nizhar in it, or though they dropped it. But that's a great question. Or is that part of the group, you know, were we Mekel on the requirements of Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, or didn't ask certain questions? Or we're more tolerant to give more time. That's kind of what I was alluding to before. I don't know this for a fact. I just think there's so many problems, you know, with both the initial acceptance of Kutim and in the opposite direction with their expulsion, and how you can do that, especially after so many generations, that's feeding my theory that this is, you know, a different kind of a group dynamic Geirus. Yeah.
A shichrur become a possibility.
A shichrur?
You're part of
Ray. Say that one more time.
And a shichrur become a possibility.
What do you mean?
I mean, la'olam
ha'olam. No, la'olam ha'olam is an assay. I mean, aside from the fact that you might need a minion and you know, and you know,
yeah, but
then you want to do a mitzvah baba veira, as the Gemara calls it, and in. No, I mean, you know, I mean, there is an assay, but. you know, something. Usually, I mean, most of the Rishonim say that for no reason, gratuitously, you know, there's an Isra of Lola Mayim Savod. But you know, if it's Tebi, you know, or there's some reason, you know, to be Meshachrer, then there's no Isra at all. Moreover, what if you did it? Even if there is an Isra, it doesn't mean the Shechur isn't Chal. So that's an interesting question, but that's not
Makkah. That's a procedural issue.
Yeah, that's a procedural issue, which is even overcomable in its own right. But you have other things. For example, we'll get to it in Yisrael Meshumud, one of the things we're going to talk about in the coming weeks. You know, typically we say Yisrael Shechata, Yisrael Meshumud. You know, Yisrael Afal Pi Shechata Yisrael Hu. That's the expansion of the line, you know, that is said with regard to Achan. You know, but Rashi, the famous Tshuva, is expansion of that. But not everybody agrees. That's what we normatively accept. We say, no matter how bad you are, even if you're Kegoy L'chal Advarim, you know, Kiddush of Kiddushim and Gerush of Gerushin, because he's still in Israel. This, you know, then you have to figure out, what do we mean, Kegoy L'chal Advarim? It obviously isn't L'chal Advarim, right? But if indeed there is a requirement, which some people suggest, that you need a tevila on the way back, you know, for Heter, there are those who think that, you know, that Yisrael Meshumad has an Isra of Lo Siskatin. Yeah, that's a very remarkable thing. You know, that you need a tefillah for that. You have a bunch of these things. I mean, there's a whole discussion about the Rif's view, what happens if you have a tefillah for Geirus, but not in the presence of a Bez. You know, whether that's Ma'akev or whether there might be an in-between status is a whole discussion in Ramban. And maybe Lagabe Knisa Lakahol, you know, it's Ma'akev. But maybe not for other things. So there is this idea of, you know, Miktsas Geirus, or Geirus especially, that is deficient with regard to Knisa Lakahol. It is a concept that we find. You know, that's how many Achronim explain, so again, some of the mixed evidence. Rashi is also very involved in this. You know, Goy or Eved Shabbat Abbas Yisrael, that the Vlad, as we know, the Vlad is Yisrael, and yet Rashi in Kiddushin and Tosus in Yavamos, there's a whole group of Rishonim, again, a minority of authorities, but still prominent ones, that think when you have a Goy or a goyer and Eved Shabbat Bas Yisrael, and the child is Yisrael, that nonetheless he needs Geirus, or he should have Geirus. That's very strange, obviously. If he's a Yisrael, what does he need Geirus for? So some of the poskim suggest that means with regard to Knisa L'Kahal. I always try to explain, why is it, you know, in response to the question. And I'm surely mentioned this in the past, and when we did Kiddushin and Ksuvas, but in response to the question of the Gaonim, you know, why does the bracha of Birchas Eirusin conclude Mekadesh Amo Yisrael Aidei Chuppah V'Kiddushin? Mekadesh Amo Yisrael. It's rare to have a bracha, right? Which whose chasima speaks about Kiddushas Yisrael, right? Actually, have it in davening in the morning too, right? Kadesh Yisrael Barabim, but very rare. So the Gonim ask, like, why Dafke Ishas? So I think that there are two answers, I think they're connected, they're overlapping answers. One is that Erusin in particular kind of highlights, or, you know, kind of really embodies the concept of Kedusha. And this has to do with things that we've talked about many, many times in those in Yonei Kiddushin and Ishus, and that is that the Chiddush of Maimon Har Sinai, Matan Torah, is that a chuppah, that Heter Isha Labala, requires first that you step back, right, and that you commit you know, in a formal legal Kenyan type of way, Erison prior to Nisuin. In a way, that kind of highlights, you know, the idea of Kedusha. You know, Gedarim that are meant to advance, you know, an intimate relationship, not instead of it, but to create a kind of protective climate for it and to, you know, kind of enrich or uplift, you know, what that is. So that's why I think Mekadesh, it's a symbol of Kedushas Yisrael. I don't want to get involved, but I think the other part of that, and I think they're related, is this point, and that is that even in Kedushas Yisrael itself, right, there's a recognition, at least in some Makoros, that Knisa Lakahal, that Legabe Ishus, the standards are higher or different. Meaning you want Kedushas Yisrael as an individual, right, to be chayav the mitzvos, that's one level, right? And that's maybe the, again, individual, as a status as an individual member of Klal Yisrael, or an individual, I should say, Jew. But to be a member of the tzibur, of the kahal, you know, and to be subject to, again, Klal Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh, to get a heter of knisa lekahal, you know, where there's no problem of los hischatin bam, that's where you have to protect the future, right, and the building blocks of Klal Yisrael. And we're talking about the collectivity of Klal Yisrael. That's a different level of Kedushas Yisrael. And therefore, there can be Geurios, or in the other direction, you know, there can be Kedushas Yisrael cases where you still need a matir for Knisa Lakal. In that sense, it's an independent dimension of Kedushas Yisrael, Mekadesh Amo Yisrael, Ayidei Chupa V'Kedusha. It's a separate dimension of Kedusha, or the completion of Kedusha. So this idea of Kutim Geire Emes, Kutim, especially Kutim Geire Arayos, as representing not an all, you know, or nothing, but as reflecting a more complicated, you know, maybe piecemeal, or missing one dimension, or having some dimensions but not other dimensions of Kedushas Yisrael is something to think about. The paradigm for all of this, I should mention, especially in terms of Knisa Lakahal, and this is something that some of the posts can point out, comes from the requirements of Geirus to begin with. Again, going back to Maamar Har Sinai as well, which were Mila, Tvila, and Hartzaz Damim, meaning Korban. So Bizman Hamikdash, or Bizman Korbanos, like what would happen if you do Mila and Tvila, you know, without the Korban? So the Gemara seems to say in Krisus that, you know, Chesed Beis, Tesemet Aleph, that would, you know, bring you Miktas Kedushas Yisrael, but not Knisa Lakahal. Right? Once there are no Korbanos anymore, and it's not like you are, you know, delinquent, you know, in your Korban requirement, because it's undoable. Right? So then, you know, that's not Makev. Or it gets bundled into the Tvila. There are different ways to say it. Okay? But the idea that you can have a Miktas Kedushas Yisrael, but not one which is incomplete Legabe Ishus, really has its roots already there. And then there's interesting questions about Miktas. You know, let's say you did for a male, a Mila B'li Tvila. Right? Whether there's some Miktas Kedushas Yisrael. Maybe not with regard to Ishus, maybe with regard to other things. I think it's the Avnei Nezer, if I recall, who, again, speaking about last week's Parsha, what I think he wanted to suggest, that one of the reasons it's significant that Shabbos was included in the complement of mitzvos at Mara, at Sham Sam Lo Choka Mishpat V'Shvich Sham Nisau, so the Chazal say that it's, you know, there are different lists, but Dinim, Paraduma, and Shabbos, and then some have the also the Kibra Bein, but whatever it is, I think the Avnei Nezer has a comment where he says that the fact that Shabbos was included already in Mara shows you that there can be Shabbos even when there's an incomplete gerus. And that's a big issue that the Achronim discuss. They picked up on this only in the last 250 years, this idea of there being a mitzvah gerus in which there's no problem of shmirah Shabbos, like Gosh Shabbos is chayiv misa, right? So what do you do with somebody who's in the middle of a gerus process? So this idea that there could be, you know, a gerus in which you're shayach to certain mitzvahs but not to others, that became a big issue and topic. Again, a couple hundred years, last couple of hundred years in particular. So there is this whole, you might be mechalek, different, you know, where to draw the line in terms of what yes, what not. But the idea of mikzas gerus or mikzas kedushas Yisrael is a massive but an interesting topic. Again, at the end of the day, you know, the psukim in Rus, amecha mi elokai chalakai, which I think we mentioned last week also, the idea that there are two elements in gerus, that there's, you know, a ben adam lemakom and a membership in Klal Yisrael, and the individual and being part of the tzibor, is certainly part of it. Again, ideally, we would never want to split those two things. They're certainly connected to each other. Here and there, you know, there were circumstances where some of these components were able to be expressed without others, at least as, you know, in the middle of a process. And that's a very fascinating thing. Okay, so that's one issue that I wanted to talk about. And again, there's much more to say about it. Obviously, it's massive, it's all over the place, but this is just our drive-by for this. Then the Gemara goes on to discuss the conduct of the Kutiyim after they were absorbed into Klal Yisrael, or accepted, or treated as members of Klal Yisrael, and yet their behavior was extremely problematic. And here's where the Gemara basically, you know, makes clear that they mostly didn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, and certainly weren't committed to Lifnei Iver L'Seitein Michshol. That has to do with the status of Shechita as well. So the Gemara here on Daled Amud Aleph tells us, yeah, I'm just going to, we read part of it last week. We talked about the relationship between Yotzei V'Nichnas and Omid. We're going to read through that again. I want to pick up with the Gemara here. The Gemara here says on Daled Amud Aleph, V'dilma Kasabri Kutiyim Ein Shechita La'Of Min HaTorah. So this is exactly where the Gemara zeroing. The Gemara is saying, how can you rely on a Kuti, even if you're Choteich Basar, you know, v'nosei lo v'hu ochlo, you know, give him literally, you know, a test. You know, you test him to see, you know, will he eat it? Is it poison or not? Right? But maybe they just didn't believe in it at all because they felt that ain't shechita la'of min haTorah. It's not mefurish bakra that there's shechita sof. Right? So the Gemara says, v'li tameich, according to that way of thinking, why do you limit your question to ain't shechita la'of min haTorah? Why not say, shehiya, drasa, chalada, hagrama, v'ikor, right, miksivan? Right, they're also not mefurish bakra, meaning the psulim of shechita, which we're assuming, right, they would be careful about, because otherwise the taste test doesn't work. So, why would you assume, since it isn't explicit in Torah Shebitzav, that they would be scrupulous about that? What's in between that and shechita sa'ov? Ella, kivin da achziku buhu, achziku buhu. Hachanami, kivin da achziku buhu, kivin da achziku, I'm sorry, achziku. Meaning, the Kutim story was a little bit complicated. And that is, it didn't break down completely to Torah Shebitzav and Torah Shebaal Peh. There were some mitzvos that they were careful about. It's just a fascinating, like a profile in, you know, in deviation or, you know, this whole two or three dapim in Kulin is about, or different levels of mumrim or ovrei avera, you know, selective shomrei mitzvos or selective ovrei mitzvos, whatever you want to call it, because sometimes if you're a pessimist or an optimist. So the Gemara says, v'achzuk lo achzuk bidlok siva tanoi. And situations where there's no explicit Torah shebichtav, but the there's a tradition of being makpid, to keep the halacha in terms of the kutim. That's actually machlokas hatanaim about whether the kutim could be relied upon or not. Netanya, matzas kuti muteres. Right, the matzah of a kuti is permissible. Meaning it's no chashash chametz, right? V'adam yotzei bo yidei chavaso b'pesach. You can trust their, you can get you can eat matzah mitzvah from the kuti matzah factory. Okay, there's like charedi matzahs, there was kuti matzahs. Okay, which was cheaper? So Rabbi Lazar oser, Rabbi Lazar disagreed. He said, "Lefish ein b'kiyim b'dikduke mitzvos ki yisrael," because he didn't have as much faith in the kutiyim. Says they're not medakdek b'mitzvos. Again, this is the tkufa where they're living in Klal Yisrael, and they're being treated as Jews. But we still know that they're a community, which has its issues. Rav Shimon Gamliel Amer kol mitzvah shechziku b'kutiyim harbe medakdek ba yoser b'yisrael. Wow. Okay, they had their things. They, in that sense, they were like the Jews, a little bit peculiar too. So the Gemara says, Omar, right, we going back to the previous statement, Matzas Kuti Muteres, Vadim Yozubakanova, Yekavasa Bepesa. The Gemara says, Pshita, what do you mean Muteres? What would be the problem? Says the Gemara, Mao the same alo biki bishimur. Maybe we're not worried about comets, but maybe it can't be Yotzei Dechavaso for Matzos Mitzvah because you need Shmartem as a Matzos, and they don't believe that that's what it means, or they don't know, what that entails. So maybe they're weak on Shmira, one would have thought. Kamash Malon, that according to the Tanakhama, right, not only do we trust them that they're not going to be Mechametz, the Chametz, we're also trusting in them that they do a proper shimur. Rabbi Lazar, Oser, Lefi Shein Bekim, B'dikduke Mitzvos, Kasavar, Lo Beki, B'shimur. Then if you look in Rashi here, there's a whole discussion that, meaning what? You can't use it for Matas Mitzvah, or we even mean that we're worried about Chametz, because maybe they don't agree about the standards of Chimutz itself. Okay? And we don't need to go into that right now, but if you look, you'll see just very quickly here. Look at the Rashi just for a second. Kasava lo biki b'shimur, then a wide line to Rashi. Lo gar sinan v'tamo mishum chimutz. Lo gar sinan. It doesn't like the girsa of lo biki b'shimur, because why should that make it asur? V'tamo, the real reason, he says, is mishum chimutz. Laman degaris le'achi, laman degaris le'achi, whoever has the girsa of shimur, Hachim Bafarsh, that's the Pshat. Lo Biki L'Shomro Mila Hachmitz. Not that they weren't Bikiim of Shmira L'Shem Matzah Mitzvah, but they weren't even Bikiim to keep it, to prevent Chimutz. The Eishon Farshon Belazer Oso Lotzis Meidei Chavoso B'Pesach. Some say he just meant you can't use it for Matzah Mitzvah. B'Lav Milsehi She'enza Loshon Iser. It's an interesting question. Can you use the language of Iser when it comes to improperly fulfilling, the mitzvah of matzah, on Pesach? Rashi dismisses that idea. It's an interesting question. Okay. Particularly since, right, the relationship between the Isra of Chametz and the mitzvah of matzah is a complex one. So you wonder whether or not maybe it isn't the worst thing in the world to use that kind of lashon, even when it comes to the absence of a kiyum a mitzvah, but okay, we'll leave that for now. Okay, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kol mitzvah shel sikah ba kutim harbe medaktikim ba Yosem Yisrael. So Gemara says, Hainu Tanakama. Isn't that the same as the Tanakama? Gemara says, Ike binayu diksiva veloach zika ba. The nafkamina is, let's say you have something which is in Torah Shebichsav. Right, till now we're talking about things that are not in Torah Shebichsav, but they have a tradition to be careful about. That's one issue. Now we're talking about things that are in Torah Shebichsav, and we don't know what their posture is, whether you can rely on their scrupulousness when it comes to Torah Shebichsav. Tanakam b'savar kivet ha'ksiv ha'afagav d'loach zikuba rabshim gamil savar yachsik in ilo'achsuk lo. Okay, says the Gemara, if that's the case, yachi kol mitzah shech zikuba kutim. Instead of saying the words which we have now, kol mitzah shech zikuba kutim, right, imich ziku mi boile. Ela ikibinayu the lok siva, the opposite. Something that's not in Torah Shebichsav, if it's in Torah Shebichsav, then the assumption that they're medaktik is accepted. The question is, the real debate is, let's say they're seemingly medaktik on certain things, but it's not in Torah Shebichsav. Can we, I mean the rest of Klal Yisrael, rely on that reputation of Achzikuba or not? Right, Vachzikuba. Tanakam Savar Kiv de Loksiva Afagav Dachzikuba Nami Lo. And Rav Shim Gamliel Savar Kiv de Achzuk Achzuk. Okay. Now, is there some relationship between their fuzzy view, or not fuzzy, mostly rejectionist view of Torah Shebaal Peh, and their dismissal of Lefnei V'Lisitei Michshol? So Rashi says that they didn't accept Lefnei V'Lisitei Michshol because they interpreted it, not Rashi here, but Rashi in the previous staff, or on Gimel Amud Aleph, because they interpreted Lefnei V'Lisitei Michshol literally. Meaning, there is a correlation. They didn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, and therefore for them, Lefnei V'Lisitei Michshol meant don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind man. It didn't mean, you know, that you are obligated to protect, you know, others from violating Isurim. Okay? So that's the direct relationship. I always thought that there might be something else, and that is, and it could be it's just a speculation or drush, or maybe there's more to it, and that is that the reliance upon, or the perspective on Torah Shebaal Peh itself has to do with a certain perspective on Klal Yisrael as a unit, as an Am, as a nation. And the whole idea of Torah Shebaal Peh really is a remarkable, you know, again, we're, you know, we grow up with it, and it's, you know, Girsa the Yankas, so, you know, there's Torah Shebaal Sav, Torah Shebaal Peh, the Torah says Toros, you know, it's pronounced Toros, and it's spelled Toras, you know, and, you know, this is what, you know, Limud HaTorah is all about, but sometimes it's important to take a step back and just, you know, kind of appreciate how remarkable it all is. I mean, this idea that, you know, Rove Torah, and certainly, you know, the way of thinking and the, you know, the way of halacha, how much of it's rooted in this oral tradition. Again, even this week's Parsha, we have Parshas Yisro, we have the greatest moment in human history, which is the moment of the revelation of, you know, in Har Sinai, the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam to all of Klal Yisrael, and the Aseres HaDibros, as it's Tochen. But that's minuscule, right, compared to the world of Halacha and its, you know, vast range and comprehensiveness. Right? So that's all accompanied with, you know, especially the Masorah to Moshe Rabbeinu, Torah Shebaal Peh. And then you have this, you know, responsibility vested in Chachmei HaMasorah, beginning with Moshe Rabbeinu, Shebechol Dor V'Dor, to carry this forward, to transmit it as accurately as possible, to apply it, you know, to dynamic flux, you know, the changes in circumstance and so on, and challenging conditions. And all that is through Torah Shebaal Peh. The question is why, but that, I think that's the answer. And the answer is that you need, you know, you needed, the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted and needed, but especially wanted, to, you know, to be Meshatef Klal Yisrael in this process, and to invest the responsibility and also some of the authority in Klal Yisrael. The Torah Shebal Peh, alongside Torah Shebitzah, but, you know, is really a testament to, you know, to the prominence of there being an Am Yisrael, a Klal Yisrael. And in a way, you know, the Kutiyim, like the Tzedukim, who came after them, the Rambam in Husavadim, says, you know, the Tzedukim, they're, you know, they inherited the mantle of the Kutiyim. That's what he says. And of course, the Karaim inherited the mantle of the Tzedukim. In a way, it's not just that they disagree, you know, about a small matter, you know, whether there's only Torah Shebitzav or there's also Torah Shebapeh, or even a big matter. But it's not just about content. It's not just about you know, the nature of halacha as a system. It's also about the role of Klal Yisrael. Because if everything is a Torah Shebitzav and it's all literal, right, then you don't, then Klal Yisrael doesn't need to be a partner. There's no investment in, and there's no national repository of Torah and of all of that. So I think that, in a way, the story with the Kutim is that, you know, in terms of their individual commitment, part of it was okay. But they never really integrated in fully into Klal Yisrael. That's part of the problem. And they didn't believe in Lifnei V'Lasita Mikshal. Meaning, they, whatever standards they have, they were for themselves. This idea that, you know, there's a collective body and that there's our voice is something that they rejected. So I'm just thinking aloud. I wonder, you know, whether their rejection of Torah Shebaal Peh, their rejection of Lifnei V'Lasita Mikshal, you know, and even part of their, you know, like the Meiri, you know, they had no Knisa L'Kahal, whether these things are not connected. Yeah.
How do you view that
the Torah
Upanov
promotion? Right. And therefore?
Is that in any way linked?
Oh, you mean talking about the responsibility question? Or Etzba Lokim and all that? I mean, there's a lot that is said about, I'm not sure what you want to get from the Karan or Upanov part. Maybe you can, I'm not sure if I'm answering your question. I'll say something first, but then you can tell me if that's what you meant or not. That is that there's a lot of discussion, of course, about the relationship between the Luchos Rishonos and the Luchos Shnios, and whether everything would have been on the Luchos Rishonos, you know, or everything was to be on the Luchos Rishonos, and it's only, you know, the Luchos Shnios that you had a distinction between Torah Shebitzav and Torah Shebapeh. That might be true. It also seems to be the case, In the view of Chazal and many of the Mefarshim, that while the you know, that the Luchos Rishonos were more Etzba Lokim, and Klal Yisrael was more passive, whereas in Luchos Shnios, you know, both the role of Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael was enhanced. I even think those two things, based on what I just said, I've always thought, based on what I just said, that those two things are connected. Right? In other words, that the Torah Shebaal Peh, you know, being a separate component or a more prominent component, is also connected with the investment of responsibility in Klal Yisrael as a junior partner, you know, to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But that might have been different, you know, if there only had been Luchos Rishonos, according to, you know, some views. I'm not sure what Karin or Panav. Is that what you were kind of asking, or not really?
Well, I didn't know whether that was the part that was linked to the Shviras of Luchos.
You mean the Karan Oparna or Parna?
The second Luchos.
Right. Maybe.
I wasn't quite.
I think the role of Moshe Rabbeinu, the role of Klal Yisrael, by extent, I think all of that increases in the Luchos Shnios. I think. But that's the case. Anyways, so this is a suggestion. Anyways, in the end of the Gemara, I'm sorry, we're a little bit slower, but in the Gemara, and now I'm skipping to Heyomid Beis, because the middle part we're going to do, hopefully starting next week, when we finish this verse, but And that's Mumar L'Teyavo, we'll do next week. But in the end of the Gemara says that the Kutiyim, again, forget about phase one and phase two, but as many generations later, the Kutiyim were expelled from Klal Yisrael. But that story itself has phases. Okay? So it goes like this. Again, we have to stop in a minute, but let's get through the Gemaras and I'll tell you what I think the issues are. And then we'll follow through a little bit next week. Gemara says in the middle of the daf here on Heyamud Beis. Again, we'll fill in. I'm just jumping to the next phase in the Kuti story. So the Gemara says here on Heyamud Beis, Om Rab Chanana, Rab Yaakov, Bar Idiom, Rab Yoshua. It's almost in the middle of Heyamud Beis. Om Rab Yoshua ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, Rabbi Gamliel Beis Dino Nimnu al Shchitas Kuti v'Asruha. Okay, they voted to prohibit Shchitas Kuti. Wow. What's that? Omele Rab Zeira, L'Rab Yaakov Bar Idi. So again, they Shchitas Kuti is now Asr. But again, it's. You know, it could be read as a policy statement. I mean, they weren't trustworthy anymore, or there's some other, you know, gain, as we'll soon see. At least the initial formulation is not that they're not Jewish anymore. And it could be limited to Shechita, right? And it could be even a policy. Chumrah. Is it also Lekula? Omer Rav Zeira L'Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, Shema Lo Shama Rebbe, El B'Shein Yisrael Omer Al Gaba, like he was, you know, incredulous when he heard this. He said, maybe we don't mean that we canceled their kashrus of their shechita across the board. Maybe what we mean is that we want to redouble our efforts to make sure that the kashrus standards are proper here, and that it's only being done when there's a Yisrael Omer Al Gaba. So the Gemara says, Omalei, Dami Haimi Rabbanan Kidlo Gemiri. Inshi, Shmaita. In other words, you're speaking like, you don't know what you're not like a Talmud Chacham. B'shein Yisrael Omer Al Gaba, right? L'memra? That you need, that everybody said. No Chiddush in that, you don't need Rabbi Gamliel Beis Dino. So then the Gemara says, Boy, Kibla Mineh Lo Kibla Mineh. Remember, boys, I go like that. Because the Gemara says, Kibla Mineh Lo Kibla Mineh, meaning, was he Makabal or was he not? I mean, this Gzeira of the Bezdin. So the Gemara says, Tashma, Damar Nachma Yitzchak Amar Vasi, Ani Ro'isis Rabbi Yochanan, She'ocha Meshkita Skuti. So Rabbi Yochanan ate Shkuta Skuti. Af Rabbi Asi, Ocha Meshkita Skuti. The Teba Rab Zeira, right? And Rab Zeira was wondering, Lo Shmielahu? But he didn't hear about the Gzeira. Diav Shmielahu Hava Makabli? La? O Dilma Shmielahu Velo Kiblua? He rejected it or he just didn't hear about it? The Gemara says, Hada Pashat Lanafshe, right? And then he's thinking about it and he said, yeah, it must be the Mistabra, the Shmielahu Velo Kiblua. He must have rejected it. Why? It's an interesting Gemara. Disokadai Techlo Shmielahu. Because if we think that he just didn't hear about it, but he had he heard about it, he would have followed it. So hechin nistayim milsa lemechal isura. So would the Rabban Shalom allowed him to encounter such a takala? So it's interesting already because it's an interesting idea anyway, right? Again, hashta behemtan shal tzadikim ena kodesh baruch hu maybe takal al yadon tzadikim atzma lekol shekein. We'll get to that. That's a famous story. Which we'll get to. But it's just fascinating. The Gemara is calling it isura. Right? The gzera of the Beis Din was nimnu al shkitas kutim v'asrua. But does that make it Macholos Asuros, or is it a policy statement? Mm-hmm. Right? Did they really think it was TRAFE, in other words, or did they establish that it was?
Doesn't it have to be a policy statement, because otherwise everything you've been eating for the past week is also no good?
Say that again?
It has to be a policy statement, because otherwise everything that you've just eaten the entire week has no good.
You mean before Ramengo Leo?
Before.
Well, it depends what it was based on, unless they just expelled them from, or they just canceled part of their Kedushas Yisrael, which is a strange idea anyway, but we'll see, I hear. Okay, so we'll talk about that. So then the Gemara says, V'isol kadai techlo kivlamine, right? Lishnile, kan kishalom al gabov, kan kishay nisolom al gabov. And alav shemamina kidlamine. Fine, shemamina. Okay. Then the Gemara says, like, what was this gzeira of Rabbi Gamliel about? Like, what happened? My tamagos v'rabbanon. I'm just going to go through the Gemara. We'll analyze it next week. The Gemara says, kihad Rabbi Shimon Lazar, right? Shadre Rab Meir. Meir sent him la suye chamer mi beikutai to bring some wine. I guess they had good wine. From the Kuti vineyards. So Ashkeche Ha'usaba, on the way he saw this old man, Amalei sent to him, he was trying to darshan and give him a remez, right? V'samta sakim lo'echa, right? In Bal Nefesh Ata, right? If you're a frum fellow, right? Be careful here. Don't take this and drink this wine. So Halakha Rav Shem Elazar of Sipra Dvarim Lefnei Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir took it to heart. Wow, of the Gazar Aleihem. Why? I mean, what really was going? What did he mean? What that if you're a Bal Nefesh, my time, huh? Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, because Dmus Yona Matzu Lehen Barosh Har Grizim Shehayu Ovdin Osa. They encountered the image of a Yona Mina Marazara. They used to hang out in Har Grizim. That was their place. That's an interesting issue in its own right. Right? What were they doing in Har Grizim all the time? Right? Different views. So basically, it's Avodah Zarah. So Rabbi Meir, Letamei, the Gemara says, the Chayish Lemiut, in general, Rabbi Meir is Choshesh for Miut. But is this a Din Chayishin Lemiut, or is it because of the Miut that he made a determination about their status? So it's interesting, the next line, again, we're going to stop in 1 minute, but the Gazar Ruba Atu Miuta. That's very strange. Right? This is such a thing, Agzera of Ruba Atu Miuta. It's one thing to say Choshesh in the Miuta. And that's, again, it's a policy decision. I'm wondering, is this, are these policy decisions because of the Hashash of Miut? So we're treating it this way? We're being Machmir? Then you wouldn't say it Lekula. Right? And it's then misleading when we say Gazar Ruba to Miut. Or it's a second level Gzeira. Or is it something more than that? I'll discuss next week. Rabbi Gamliel, Beis Dina, Namika Sphere, Rabbi Gamliel Sphere, this is also problematic. Is it really true? Does Rabbi Gamliel generally hold like Rabbi Meir, the Kosh of the Miut? Or maybe something else is going on here. That's what we'll talk about next week. So the Gemara says, Pash to the Krabba Maiksiv, Agav. This, you know, Samtam Psakin Bluacha. So the Gemara says, "B'talmud Yoshev Tnei Rabo, the Tanya Rabbi Chia Kiteshev Lilchom Moshe bin Tavin, Esa Shelafanecha, V'Santa Sakin Bluecha, Im Bal Nefesh Ata, Im Yodea Talmud Berabo Sheyodea Lahachsel Otam." The Talmud asks the Rebbe a question, and he thinks he knows the answer. Bin Im Lav, right? Tavin Esa Shelafanecha V'Santa Sakin Bluecha, Im Bal Nefesh Ata. Prosh, hey men, let's be careful when you ask somebody a question. You shouldn't embarrass him. You know, that he should have the means or the wherewithal to be able to answer. Okay, fine. Then the Gemara says, so that's phase number one in the expulsion, is this Matzu Dmus Yona, and Rabbi Gamliel Beis Dina, where it goes there, that the Shechita of a Kuti is no good, and we treat it like an Iser. But it's based on Miut, maybe Gzeras Ruba Atu Miut, which is a strange idea. Even if you hold Chayshin and the Miuta, the idea of Gzeira Ruba Atu Miut is definitely not a simple thing. So what do we mean by that? And why did Rabbi Gamliel go along with it? Does he always hold Choshen the Miut like Rabbi Meir? That's phase one questions. We'll get back to all this next week. We'll start with it. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yosef, Shadre, Rabavua, Rabavo, sent Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef lasuya chamrim beikutai. This was quite the right, quite the wine place. So Ashke Hahu Saba also encountered same old man. Different Amalei Leiskan Shomrei Torah. Some people are medayik in the different language. You know, before he said to him in Bal Nefesh Ata, and here he said to him, maybe it's worse, things are worse now. And here he said to him, Leiskan Shomrei Torah. So Alach Rabbi Yitzchak Vesibra Dvarim Lefnei Rabbavahu, V'Alach Rabbavahu Vesibra Dvarim Lefnei Rabbani, V'Ravasi, V'lo Zozim Misham, Ad Sha'asa'um, Ovde Kachavim Gemurim. That's a much stronger language. It's no longer saying that they were gozer, that less or shchitasan. We're now saying lo zazu misham ad shasaum ovde kochavim gemurim. Right? Sounds like that they have been expelled. And for like, what does that even mean? Like, how do you do that? Who has the authority to do it? How is it done? Can't take a Jew and just say you're no longer a Jew, can you? Right? So the Gemara says lama il shchita. The Ayin Nesach, the Hasam, right? Gazavu Rabbana. But that already was a Gzeira. So the Gemara says, Inu Gazer v'lo kibla minayu, Asir Abami Ravasi, Gazer v'kibla minayu. This is very fascinating, meaning the first phase didn't work. Right? Until Ravami and Ravasi came along, and they. So what happened between phase one and phase two? Right? So that's what we'll discuss next week. Rashi has a view, the Ramban has a view, there might be another view. Okay. And why Ovde Kacham Gemurim? What does that mean? This is also fascinating. So you would think Ovde Kacham, if I said to you, they made them Ovde Kacham Gemurim, what would you think? Right? The Nevela, we said already, Ainesach, Kiddushin, Gerushin, right? Instead, the Gemara has this case, this Din Drabanan of Eruva Chatzeiros. Omer Nachma Yitzchak Levato Rishus Velitin Rishus. If you have a Kuti, and he's also in the Chatzer, you know, do you treat him like a Goy or like a Yisrael with regard to the Din of Eruva Chatzeiros? Ketan Yisrael Mumar Meshamer Shabaso Beshuk Mevato Rishus Venosim Rishus Veshenu Meshamer Shabaso. B'shuk, enim b'vato rishos, b'nosim rishos, b'nei sh'am r'yisrael nosim rishos, b'vato rishos, over k'chavim ad sh'yiskar. Ketzad omer l'rishusi k'nuyalach, rishusi mutalas lach, kon, ein tzarech l'zakos. Okay. Again, we don't need to go into that halacha, we're not going to hear of it right now, but that's strange that the Gemara should say, lo zazim b'sham ad sh'asam goyim gemurim, and instead of some fundamental Din Doraisa that reflects on Kedushas Yisrael, all they give us is Eruv. So there is this massive, I want to discuss these phases next week, right? And what it means that the Miut was connected here. More particularly, there's a huge debate among the Rishonim, like, what is this a real Din or not? Is this policy or is this stats? And is it even L'chumra? Or is it only Lakula? Obviously, if it's policy, then it makes sense. You could say, you know, we're no longer going to rely on the Kutiyim. But let's say a Kuti is Mekadish and Ishi, you really don't need a get? Or a Kuti dies, there's no Tumas Mace? Right? And so on and so forth. Lakula, we're going to say Asom Goyim Gemurim? Then we mean business, it seems. And what's that based on? So one other piece of information to think about, and then we'll try to finish with this next week, and that is that there's a parallel Gemara, which some of the Mefarshim point out. Rosh Bash at Atshuva points it out, and then carried over later, in terms of the connection. The Gemara used the same expression, lo zazim b'sham ad sh'asam goyim gemurim in Yevamos. And the Gemara in Tazayin Beis Yizayin Amar talks about the 10 Shvatim. And the Gemara says at one point, you know, every time, why don't you say every time a non-Jew is Mekadesh Anisha, that it's Safek Kedusha, because maybe it's one of the Aseres HaShvatim. Then the Gemara counters in the end, on Yitzayin Amar Aleph, the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Aseres HaShvatim? Lo zazam misham ad sh'asam goyim gemurim. Same expression that we have here. So it's an interesting parallel. Of course, it's, you know, you had the Kutim who were problematic from day one. Is that relevant to what finally happened to them? We're not sure. But then you had the Aseres HaShvatim who are so much part of the configuration of Kedushas Yisrael, of Klal Yisrael. And they were written out, at least temporarily, Asom Kegayim Gemur. What do we mean in both of these cases, and do we mean the same thing? You know, what do we really mean that a group or individuals, especially these are both groups, one a group that's so intrinsic to Klal Yisrael, the other one that was problematic from day one. Interesting, but in the end of the day, you can cancel people's kedushas. How is that done? Okay, so we'll talk about that next week, and then we'll move on to Mumar L'Teyavot.